In Romans 6, verses 1 through 11, we are going to have communion this morning. And I've asked, after I finish speaking, that my dad would say a few words. He is a retired United Methodist pastor who is still preaching and will share a few words with you in a few minutes. We're looking now at Paul's words following from last week's text, immediately beginning at Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Your word is life. Sometimes this world chokes it out, and we lose the joy and the peace. We ask that You would sow a fresh word into us. Help us to be fertile ground with deep roots and everlasting fruit. May Your message come to us now, no matter the words of the speaker. Lord Jesus, be with us now. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Be glorified now, Heavenly Father. And unto that end, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday we talked about two dominions of sin, reigning in condemnation, and righteousness unto justification of life. Today we talk about two different things that are parallel, if you will, that war one with another. And the thing that Paul talks about in this passage is almost like having parallel lives, where you live one life privately and another one publicly. And he's struggling with a church that didn't understand what that meant. The question came to him, and they asked him, well, since where sin increased, the grace did, shouldn't we go and sin much so we can have a lot of grace? Shouldn't I do a whole lot wrong so I can get a whole lot of mercy? Well, he said that, God forbid, if you're free from that old life, stop living it. You don't have to sin anymore. If you look through this book of Romans and you see the word sin, most of the time it's talking about the power of sin. It says the power of sin no longer rules over you. In other words, God has entered in when you belong to Jesus Christ, and you are able to say no Without Christ, you serve the law of sin and death. With Christ, you have the ability to say no and begin to allow God to transform you to what He's called you and created you to be. The problem is that sometimes it looks like, as you look in verse 6, that we have two parts of ourselves, the old man and the new one. And so it's almost like they both want dominion. He says, the old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we won't serve sin or the power of it. Now, if that's the case, if the old man is dead, then that means all that we were before Christ came in, we don't remember a bit of it, right? That's not true. Because otherwise we wouldn't have a testimony, would we? God saved me from something, but I don't remember what it was. I'm delivered, but I don't know what I'm free from. I feel better, but I don't know what it was like to feel worse. In other words, God says we got two parts of ourselves, before Christ and after. But the before Christ part lingers within. One way to say that is you remember a time without Christ when living ungodly felt fun. Felt good. Didn't feel guilty at all. Then Christ came in and one of two things happened. Either you hated yourself for that, or you began gradually to become dissatisfied with that life and you began to change. One or the other happens when Christ comes in. But after time you look back and you go, I can't do that anymore. It just doesn't feel comfortable. I can't do it without having within me a sense of guilt and uncomfortability. I'm not comfortable anymore doing that. And it's almost like I was reading a story one time about this fella who talked about how inside he was full of anxiety, restlessness, frustration, while outside he was at the top of his field. Everybody thought he was calm, cool, collected, suave, and professional. And he was the number one in his field, but inside he felt like he was a failure. So no matter how good he did, he said he was a failure. After a while, he said, in his 50s, he began to understand that he needed to forgive himself for the things that made him feel like a failure. He felt like it for a time he was living parallel lives, this external one and an internal one. And what Jesus Christ has come to do is to kill off the junk in the internal life so that we can begin to live externally and internally in harmony. And he said in his 50s, when he began to forgive himself and allow others to forgive him and his family to forgive him, he made peace with himself. But I want to tell you what that's like. It's like a chain wrapped around your leg and you're trying to pull this heavy weight of this guilt and shame in the past, and you're trying to take it with you, and the chain keeps getting longer, but there's nothing attached to the other end of the chain. It's attached to nothing but what you think it's attached to. Do you know how they used to train elephants? Do you know how? Maybe you all seen this. They took a large cable, like rope, about that big around, wrapped it around his leg, and staked it into the ground. And after time, the elephant pulled on it, and he couldn't move it, so he realized he only had a few feet he could go. After a while, the rope they made smaller and smaller and smaller till it was just a little string on his leg attached to a stake. And then after that, all they had to do was put something tied on his leg and he wouldn't go anywhere. He was stuck because he felt what used to be there. When Christ comes in, he gets rid of what used to be there, but you still feel it at times. And you're not sure why it's there, and it's almost like you're torn in two different directions. My heart says I love God, as Paul says in Romans 7, but my body keeps serving sin. I'm stuck here. But he says I have a choice now. Before I didn't have that choice. Now I can begin to walk in the Spirit of God and live for Christ Jesus. But this old part of me keeps trying to talk. And dead men aren't supposed to talk. That part of me that used to enjoy sin keeps saying, try it again. And the new part says, I don't me feel miserable. I lose fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with my Heavenly Father, and I feel lost. When I've been found, it makes me feel lost, so I can't do that. And it's almost like you battle within. Jesus says you can't serve God and mammon. It's kind of the same idea. You can't serve what God has created you to be and start living primal again. As Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, if there is no God, we should just eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're going to die. But we do not have a life blessed without a God. We have a God who loves us, who gave His Son for us to redeem us, so that we have an opportunity to say, you don't rule me anymore. God does. I live for a higher call and purpose in my life. It would be real nice if we had complete transformation. You know, I don't know if you all like those shows, those makeover shows. I like Trading Spaces. I like that when they're trading places where they make over a room in each other's house. I like that. I like to look at the before to the after. You know, it's like really amazing transformation. Well, guess what? God does in us a gradual one. There's a change in us, and when that part no longer is connected to who we are, it doesn't speak anymore. But if we don't stay in fellowship and communion, those parts stick around and they try to run our life. Protect yourself. Watch out your back. God doesn't care. You need to. Look out for number one. All those fears and anxieties try to speak, and God says, grace is sufficient. And that argument doesn't sit well with someone who's practical, logical, according to the ways of the world. Well, grace is enough. Well, I got to pay my bills. You know, that voice is there. If you could just shut that voice up and let it die off and let God bless you, God will take care of what you need. We get stuck, don't we? We get right in the middle. But God says we finally can be free. I remember one day, I've been working with this fella. Must have been about 2 months. His life was tough. He had an abusive father, cousins. This man was shamed in ways you just don't want to know. Ways I don't even like to think about. One day he came into my office after he had told me about it, and I shared some things that he could do to begin to heal. He walked into my office and he looked at me and said, guess what happened? He said, I gave it up. I said, what do you mean? He said, that is no longer the defining moment in my life. When I close my eyes, I don't see that face anymore. I see Jesus. I'm free from those chains. I'm free because those people don't run my life anymore. And for 35 years, they defined me. Now my definition is in Jesus Christ and who He says I am. And I prefer those voices much better. I live for that. A man told me that, and I saw him several times over the following couple years, and he still says, when I close my eyes at night, all I see is Jesus. All I see is freedom. All I see is hope and promise. He said, I can't even go back and imagine what I used to see anymore because it's dead. It doesn't talk anymore. And that's what Christ is trying to do with us, is to set us free from those garbage things in our lives that we've done or others have done to us to get us free. So they won't define our interactions with ourselves, with our God, or with one another. That's His intention, to make sure the dead men don't talk.